So we play this card game with our four kids, and the idea is every card has a picture on it, right? And you start to make up a story with that picture. And some of the images are kind of goofy, but it makes us think, and sometimes it gives us a laugh. So I thought in the context of Lent today, and really, you know, 4 weeks, entering our fifth week, just thinking about our struggles, we would play a little game with those cards, with a key figure. Like, in formation, they tell you a lot of your homilies about yourself, so this one's really about me. So let's see if you can follow along. So Ash Wednesday comes, and this gentleman I know well, let's call him Deacon Mike, he's all amped up. He's really amped up for Lent. He just wants to be close to Jesus. He wants to, like, you know, have this connection with him, but he's always struggling. He's always just has these, he puts himself ahead of God a lot of times, in prayer, in service even, and he's kind of tired of it, right? He's tired of feeling like there's no end to it, right? So he's pumped up Ash Wednesday, you know, he's so excited, right? He's almost feeling like he's a king of his own world. So he's a king of his own world. He's feeling really good about himself, and he really feels like nothing could get to him. So he's got these practices during Lent that he's prayed about. He's encountered Jesus in the Exodus 90 program. He's added fasting, acts of service, really having a great time, and really connecting with our Lord. And then 2 or 3 weeks hit in, and what happens? Struggle hits in. The enemy, the devil himself, tries to creep in and says, you don't need to wake up early to pray. You can sleep in. That prayer stuff is just taking up your valuable time. Work is more important, right? So he feels this struggle, although he never really gives up. He feels the struggle, and his inward struggle is starting to look like his outward appearance, right? And he's kind of like looking pretty bad, right? And just before, you know, he has this thought, somebody comes up to him and says, Mike, you kind of look really bad. Did you have a rough week? I said, what do you mean? Well, he looks really like this. Okay, this is Lent to Deacon Mike, right? He's really struggling. He's kind of freaking out about things. And he kind of has that look on his mind like, what next? Like, what next? Right, and if this story kind of, you can relate to this a little bit, you know, this gospel has so much hope for us, right? It has so much hope. And the hope comes in, like, really Jesus has been kind of talking to me about this all week. The hope comes in three points that relate to this gospel that I want to really share with you. Number one, Jesus provides his love and support when it doesn't make sense. Right, so we hear in today's gospel that Jesus goes in an area to raise Lazarus, Judea, like close to Jerusalem. We hear 2 miles out. Right, he was just stoned in this area, so going here would have been a big risk. So much so that if he stepped foot in this region, it probably meant his own death. And that's exactly what happens. In 2 weeks, we'll see that on Good Friday. This decision to raise Lazarus kills Jesus, right? But he does that for us, right? And he does it on the Sabbath, right? We hear that Jews are not supposed to work or heal on the Sabbath. And that's what he does. He goes to Lazarus. And I wonder if this idea of waiting 4 days was just so he can prove what he'll do for us on the Sabbath, that there's no real limit to us. And we read that Martha kind of tries to stop Jesus and says, no, Lord, there's a stench, right? The Lazarus body would have been in active decay, right? There's no hope. And yet Jesus comes to us in our no hope and says, I got you. I got you. Point two, Jesus delays helping us so we can understand his love more. I don't know about if you really caught this in the gospel, but this like really struck me this week. It says that Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus so much that he waited 2 more days. Does this make any sense? I love you so much, I'm going to wait longer. You're dying, but I'm going to wait longer. So you're not living anymore, you're actually dead. And that's pretty powerful. We might not understand it, but it's powerful. The church gives us this really great quote from a saint that helps us explain this. He says, "You see how he gives full scope to death. He lets death, in other words, overcome the situation. By waiting, he grants free rein to the grave. He allows corruption to set in. He acts like this so that human hope and despair reaches its lowest depth, like us during Lent sometimes. The deed is he's about to accomplish, so that the deed he's about to accomplish may be clearly seen to be the work of God and not of man." The saint goes on to say that Jesus is more concerned with raising us from the dead than curing our ailments. And that's what his purpose is in this world. It's to raise us from the dead. It's not necessarily to take care of all the little things. And I know this sounds unfair. Sometimes our faith sounds unfair, right? We could see that in the parable of the prodigal son. I mean, Jesus waits to save the prodigal son at the last moment. And he does that with the landowner, where he basically pays the last one, the very last one, the same as the first one. It seems unfair. But that's what God wants to do for us. He wants to rescue us in this last moment. God is really not bound by time like we are. He has no obstacles. So sometimes we look like this crazy guy. Sometimes I do. But it's kind of on purpose. He wants us to trust him more. He wants us to know why he came. Point three, Jesus springs into action when he hears and sees our struggle. So there's an encounter between Mary and Jesus, and it's easy to go unnoticed. We read that Mary goes there quickly. The actual translation to hear is actually the same translation that is said that the sheep hear the shepherd's voice. The sheep hear the voice of God. So she hears Jesus perfectly. At that moment in time, she hears him perfectly. And what does she do? She just does this incredible act of faith. She bows down. She worships him at his feet. She does this big just act of faith in our words. And this reminds me of what we're like when Lent starts. The king that we are, the king how we feel. You know, we're at our highest point. And then what's the next thing we hear? We hear that Mary weeps with the Jews. Now, to put this in context, Jesus says, "I'm going to raise Lazarus." So he's going to live. And then she's crying with the Jews. And this is kind of upsetting to Jesus. And he says, "So I'm troubled and perturbed. I'm deeply troubled at this statement, at this action." It's at that moment, and I think he weeps at that moment because he realizes our frailty. He realizes how much we really need him. But we don't quite want to go all the way there. We want to look like this. We want to take on, you know, this outward appearance. We want to complain about our Lenten penance, and I do it all the time. But after a while, it gets really hard. And this idea that Mary kind of falls to the world around us is just an image for us. And on 4 or 5 weeks into Lent, it's kind of how we feel, isn't it? We kind of look at the world around us. Maybe if you're like me, your office does a lot of these luncheon and everybody's eating these things you can't eat, and it always happens on a Friday. And it requires sacrifice. But sometimes sacrifice looks ugly. It looks ugly. But Jesus just has some incredible words for us today. the end of our gospel, he says something I think we all want to hear. Untie him and let him go. I think it's so important to recognize amongst our struggles, this is what he desires. He wants to untie us from those struggles, right? He doesn't want us to live like or feel like it's a burden, right? And that's what our world does all the time. It feels like our God is a burden to us. The sacraments, going to confession, going to mass, it's a burden. But if we're honest, who is the prisoner? Is it us during Lent because we have to do all these things? Or is it the person that's addicted to TV, to video games, to their electronic devices, to their sports team, like the New York Mets, like me? It's like, who's the prisoner? Like, I think if we take on this Lenten path, allow Jesus to rescue us from that struggle, we would see that it's actually not a burden. It's actually freedom. Freedom is knowing what happiness looks like, right? This is an outward sign of unhappiness. We're trying. We just can't get it all the way there. So this idea that Jesus reaches out to Lazarus, he's raised, he saved him, and he's untie him and let him go. Untie him all that burden, everything about him that's really he's hanging on to. Untie him and let him go. That's what he wants for us today. You know, right before this morning, I woke up early, just really reflecting on Jesus' words this week, and I caught a glimpse of the very last Chosen episode where Peter, from the Gospel of Matthew, encounters Jesus in the storm, in the sea, and I don't know if you saw that, it's a pretty dramatic scene, right? The idea is Peter is so mad at Jesus for being unfair, for like healing all these people but not healing him and all his challenges and all his struggles. And what happens? He gets out of the water. Lord, if you command me, I will walk on that water. And he goes closer. And right about in the middle, let's say week 4 or 5, he sinks. Right? And Jesus reminds him. And he gets up again. Now, I think it's important to know that Jesus raised Lazarus close. He was over his tomb. He untied him close. So Peter's desire to be close is natural for us. And that's our clue. That's our clue this Lent, that Jesus wants us to experience the kingship that we're owed, the kingship that we desire. But sometimes you get angry, right? Sometimes it feels like it's not fair. But in order to really experience the healing that Jesus has for us today, in order really in 2 weeks to have this incredible Good Friday and realize what Jesus has done for us, we need to be close to him. These next 2 weeks provide that opportunity to be close to him. Jesus heals Lazarus from close. He wants to do the same to us. Peter had to go close for him to be healed. He wants us close. I think if we can experience that closeness that Jesus desires with us, he will heal us of all of these things, right? He proves it today. There's no time limit. There's no territory that's dangerous enough. And the world cannot distract us enough for Jesus to show his love. So I ask you, I ask myself today, and I listen for those words. Untie him, untie me, and let me go. That's our prayer. Untie me and let me go. This week, if you experience these challenges, repeat those words, untie me and let me go. And Jesus' love on the cross is so great that it's not on us. That's my problem in Lent, that I try to make it about what I can do. But he doesn't say untie yourself and let yourself go. He says, untie me and let me go. So we pray today for this grace, Jesus' act of mercy to us, and we hold out our hands and we say in a very clear, simple voice, untie me and let me go.